This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Macca. We have our next guest in the studio live with us, Thomas Burge from Storehouse St Kilda. Welcome to Saturday Magazine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And it's very easy to say you are the best dressed person in the studio today. Yes. No offence, yes. Macca.
I do have other events afterwards, so
black, you see.
Forever in fashion. And today we're also mourning. We're mourning the death of fashion giant, cultural icon, Giorgio Armani and his legacy.
Yeah.
What does his legacy mean to you, and what do you think he's going to be remembered as and for?
I think he's going to be remembered for quite a few things. He certainly was the man that brought androgyny into fashion. He was very much there when I was studying. So I was in the mid-80s when I was studying. So he was very much a looming figure then. And he was very much that chic elegance. He was very understated. So he wasn't out there being loud and wild. He was just doing really beautiful, yeah, beautiful things. And I think quality, timeless, which of course we're all going for now. We want things to last and everything's to go into the future. And I think he set a standard for that.
You know, this is something that I remember. This quote was attributed to him actually by a company that I used to work for in the automotive sense.
Okay.
And they said that Giorgio had said in the 90s during, was either a credit squeeze or a recession, mm-hmm, that in difficult economic times, there is always a flight to quality.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. People want things to last.
Yes.
They don't go for the cheap. They actually go for things that will last. And I think that's what will be his legacy, that he lasted. And it's interesting that we say that he is an icon and he will go into the future. But he's relatively new in terms, yeah, of the big labels. He started his label when he was 41.
Yeah.
So it's only been going 50 years. So he died at 91. It's only been going 50 years. And compared to your Balenciagas, the Dior's, your Chanel's,
these which houses, he sits decades,
up there.
Yeah.
He sits up there with them and they're decades old. So to make that impact in that short period of time is quite exceptional.
If you had to define Giorgio Armani, his work and his fashion, but as an individual, how would you like him to be remembered as an individual?
That's said about people who worked with him, he was an incredibly nice man, which is unusual, and kind, yeah, and is unusual often in that fashion industry where it can be a little bit nasty and a little bit manic, a bit wild. But he was apparently very calm, very referred to as King Giorgio by everyone that worked for him, and considered a very gentle man. But having said that, what I always keep thinking about is, isn't that amazing that he could be perceived like that yet be so in control? He was the chairman. He was the CEO. He was the head designer of Giorgio Armani. And to be in that position, yet also be considered to be incredibly well-liked and respected by all your peers and people who work for you is an amazing thing to be able to do, to balance. That's incredible.
When we think of some of the silhouettes, automatically that comes to mind, some of the most sleek and chic men's suit, brilliantly cut, the best of Wall Street, perfectly like complementary ties. Obviously, that is just such a heavy quality, and it's something that you have to have an eye for. If you could have a magic wand for the men of Melbourne and how you'd like them to dress, what would you change?
I would definitely take a page out of his book in to soften things up, to relax things, because that's actually what he did. That was his first thing. So we all remember, well, I do, when I was only 16, but that was me, Richard Gere in American Gigolo. And that was when the name Armani absolutely burst onto the scene. And that was those relaxed. They'd taken all the stiff padding and heavy stitching out of the men's suit and they'd relaxed it and we were all swooning. But then on the other hand, he put strong women in strong, beautiful power suits. So quiet power, as they called it, for the women. So he absolutely mixed it up. I mean, the king of androgyny. He was amazing in that sense. And so, yes, to relax me here sitting here wearing shoulder pads today.
Yes, I was. Well, actually, you're not.
I'm just very well built.
Oh, yes.
But his thing was his fabrics. I mean, they're astonishing. And he obviously designed and made the majority of his fabrics. So that was what it came down to. So people forget that it's cut, it's fabric that make an incredible garment. And he could do that. I mean, he could. His last collection in July, his last haute couture collection in July, was completely black.
Right.
Which is interesting. But
it's his cut. Well, in Melbourne.
Well, yes. Exactly. Well, they say that. But you go to Sydney these days and there's people black there these days. But yes, so that was what he was able to do, is have to really shake things up in the most subtle, quiet way that was going to last.
Is it true that he, and a listener asked this, not that I'm doubting the word of the listener, that he designed Rome's police uniforms?
He did a lot of corporate.
Yes,
absolutely. I mean, if anyone's been to Rome and seen the policeman, it's
you could do impressive. Some work in the Australian Airlines, I reckon.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, they've just announced a new designer for the Qantas uniforms. Martin Grant is leaving. So,
Spanish.
For those playing at home, I just want to interject. Navina is on the internet looking at the police uniform in Rome. Do you want to give us a precy of what they're wearing, Nav?
Incredible fashion designed by the one and only Giorgio Armani. Yeah.
And with the airline uniforms, just that the Australian airline uniforms, you know, are very practical and some great design work, but I'd like them to be a bit more adventurous.
Yeah, sure. Look, having said that, my father was with Qantas for very many years and he had a lot of trouble in that he was the one who signed off on the Yves Saint Laurent Qantas uniforms, and, of course, not Australian, so they weren't really impressed with him. But, of course, they weren't subtle.
No.
Everybody remembers those uniforms. They were amazing. So maybe that's where my fashion started, seeing that at a very early age.
Ooh. Are there any other – we obviously discovered a lot about Giorgio Armani in just this short segment, but are there any other things that you know about him that you wish the world did too?
A couple of things. There was he was quite ethical, very ethical in the way that he did things. So he was one of the first people that made a stand against using a very slim, underweight models.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it worked to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But we've still got, obviously, underweight models out there. But he was very strong about it. He was one of the first to say, I won't put them on the catwalk. I'm not going to put the Kate Mosses. I'm not going to do the heroin chic look. It's not going to work. It's not going to be for me anymore. So, you know, little things like that. He was very strong with, and as I said, the fact that he was considered one of the wealthiest fashion designers in the world as an individual.
Wow.
Because it was completely solely owned by him, whereas all the others are owned by conglomerates.
In your, I'm sure you've got a lot of Armani.
I have some.
What is your favourite piece of Armani?
My favourite piece of Armani was my wedding tie.
Yeah.
So I couldn't find my wedding tie. It was the night before the wedding, up and down Collins Street and everywhere else, from cheap to most expensive. I went into Armani. I was quite flustered. I said, I cannot find my wedding tie. And the guy said quietly, just come with me. And it was a bit like, you know, when you open in the movies, you open the door and the golden light shines through. He opened this drawer and there was a black, white and grey tie, just three of them. And the light shone out of this drawer. And it was this three astonishing ties. And mine was a plain white, very open weave silk tie. And it was like, that is my wedding tie.
That's it.
And it was it. I was absolutely done. And it's, you know, it's still, I obviously still have it. And it's one of, but it was one of those things that you just went, that's someone who can design. That's what's going to make it. So that's my Armani piece.
Because, you know,
we didn't have a honeymoon because of the price of that tie.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's not a price, it's an investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, simplicity and quality will always shine out. But, absolutely. You know, if the design isn't right, it doesn't matter, does it?
Bad design is infuriating, frustrating in my world. Mm. So great design just makes the world easier. It just makes it easier and so much more pleasant.
And more beautiful.
And more beautiful.
Yes. Are you going to, do you have your eye on a piece that you think you might like to acquire to?
I did have an Armani suit many, many years ago.
Yeah.
But I went and lived in the country and became a farmer for many years and sold all my suits. So I would like to have another Armani suit back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were exceptional and beautiful and you just couldn't help. But yeah, I'd love to get an Armani suit.
I don't have it anymore, but I did have I'll call it a sweater.
Oh.
A black Armani sweater.
Yes.
Many, many years ago. It was stolen from my bag on a second-rate airline. But anyway, perhaps they just realised what it was and thought they've got to have it.
Oh, they probably didn't.
But yes, I don't know. It's all sad. It's very sad.
No, it's. But yes, great design is important, I think, and that's why I do what I do.
Thank you for joining us in the studio. Thank you for sharing the beautiful legacy of Giorgio Armani, Thomas Birch from Storehouse St. Kilda. Thank you for joining us on Saturday Magazine.
Thank you.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Nevenera and Macca. We're going to take the shortest of breaks and be right back to round out the show.
This
has been Saturday Magazine with Nev and Macca back together again. I'm sure you're all out there missing us.
That's right, gagging on the very thought of it. Wanted to thank Bruce Wolpe from the US Study Centre, Josh Burns, member for McNamara, Rachel West, Westaway member for Peran and also for the cakes. Thanks, Rachel. Dr. Christina Rierich from, not sure if I got that right, Bayside Animal Medical Centre. And we spoke about small pets, big pets, human attitudes, etc. Sam, is it McGuam, do you think?
I think so.
Anyway, that's what it is now. From the Brain Cancer Centre, Madeline Howell, lawyer from the Human Rights Centre, and Thomas Burge from Storehouse. Lovely to be back. Even though I was only away for a week, lovely to sit with Paul again and with Nevena and with Steve, our special guest. Hopefully Steve might want to involve himself in the show. We'll say that on air so that he feels trapped.
And to our wonderful executive producer, Kenny who puts these shows together
and James,
for your listening pleasure.
That's right, and James on the front desk. Yeah, thank you, Kenny. You do an amazing, amazing job bringing the show together. We get the wind up. Guess what? There's more Joy. Stay tuned because it's always good.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.